This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. Quarantine, it is stressful for everyone, but for some, being cooped up alone with no school or work as an escape can actually be dangerous. And that is the reality for so many Idahoans, those currently quarantined with an abusive partner or an abusive parent. Joining us today by Skype is Bea Black. She is the executive director of the Women and Children's Alliance. And really quickly, I do want to provide the local 24-hour domestic abuse hotline number. That number is 208-343-7045. Again, that is 208-343-7045. Bea, welcome to Idaho Matters.
Well, thank you so much, Gemma. I am so delighted to be here. I hate to say this, but the last four digits are 7025.
I'm glad that you said that because we want to make sure we have that number correct. So 208-343-7025. That is the 24-hour domestic violence hotline that is local, correct?
That is local, and okay. It is staffed 24/7 by trained client advocates. They will help with resources. They will help let you know what we're able to do for anybody that finds themselves in a dangerous situation or just basically needs to talk to somebody about what they are experiencing. Because this is, as you said, this is a very difficult time, especially if you happen to be cooped up with somebody who is really trying to control everything that you do.
And I want to start there, Bea, because I think we need to have an understanding of this problem here in Idaho. How pervasive is the problem of domestic violence here during non-coronavirus times?
You know, that is a very good question. I will tell you that during our regular times, we have about 2,000 calls that we get on our hotlines. During the year, we help with about 1600 to 1800 civil protection order filings at the Ada County Courthouse. Mind you, that's just the Ada County Courthouse. And we have a shelter that serves about 220 women and children in an average year. And now our shelters, those can accommodate up to 30 women and children at a time, excuse me, up to 30 women, and then however many children they bring for up to 8 months. So this is a longer term with wraparound services to help somebody really get back on their feet and move on.
So then when we go into quarantine, as we are, we know there's the potential for this to be worse because, as we said, there is really no escape, right? You don't go to work. I mean, you are at home constantly. And have you seen a rise? I mean, and, you know, do you even have data right now or how are you tracking that?
You know, it's a good question. And I've been looking at the first quarter hotline calls. And I was very interested to note that while the overall number of calls that we took in the first quarter of 2020, 949 hotline calls, they were slightly down, about 100 calls down from what we saw in 2019. However, there is a 93% increase in the number of calls related to domestic violence. So when I talk about what does that mean in terms of actual numbers, we saw 441 in 2019 versus 849 in 2020. So that's a big increase.
That is a very big increase. And domestic violence, I think a lot of times we think, we think about violence, physical abuse. But what else qualifies as domestic abuse?
There are so many different indicators. For example, you can not lay a hand on someone, but you can threaten a child. You can threaten taking away a child. You can threaten a pet. You can belittle someone constantly. You can also gaslight. That's an old expression, but basically what it means is you're consciously trying to make somebody think they're going nuts. You left something on the counter. You go back, it's not there. You ask your partner, wait a minute, I just set this, whatever it could be, bag of cookies on the counter. What happened to it? I don't know. Knowing full well that they do know what happened to it. They took it, put it away, they hid it. So it's just a very concerted effort to manipulate someone into thinking that they are losing their mind and losing their credibility.
And I was going to say, so the courts are closed, at least physically, right now. I mean, there are certain cases moving through. I mean, arraignments, things like that. But how is that affecting certain cases, that are maybe trying to move through the system right now?
Yeah. I am so proud of our court advocacy team. When they heard last Friday that the courts were going to be closed as of the following Monday, they sprang into action, and we are set up now at our 720 West Washington location from 8:30 to 4 every day. We have members of our court advocacy team here, and they will help individuals who come seeking a civil protection order. So the way this works right now is anybody can come between 8:30 and 4 and file a civil protection order. What that is, you as an individual, you don't have to have the perpetrator anywhere near you. You can come in and you can file a petition that says, I need help, I am afraid. So we can help with that. What then happens is the judge will make a decision, and then you have to come back and appear before the judge 14 days later. Let's say he grants you a petition and a restraining order. And then 14 days later, you have to come back. But that's because your perpetrator also has an opportunity then to be heard and say their side of the story. So those protection order hearings are taking place every day on a scheduled basis. Mm-hmm. And so there is a judge that is sitting at the Ada County Courthouse that will hear those cases.
And we should say everything's happening remotely. So like the person who has filed does not have to actually physically go into the courthouse because the courthouse is closed. So it's set up to keep everyone, physically safe with social distancing, but also making sure that these cases are still being heard.
That is correct. And so we take the precautions here. We have the wipes, we have the table, we have a protocol for what we do before and after somebody would come in. We have the masks that they can put on, and we ask them to put on. Our team is trained in, the appropriate distancing. And then obviously all of this is being done telephonically or via video conference with the judges and the staff at the courthouse.
So because we are all, quarantined right now, and, in the last segment, we were talking about this being Child Abuse Prevention Month and how even as neighbors, we can kind of check in on people. But even as a neighbor, as a community member, how do we do that? I mean, what warning signs should we be looking for? And can we even be looking for it if we're all social distancing, even though we're the neighbor across the street or something like that?
Gemma, I think that is a very perceptive question, because I think the question can right now is so much harder. I mean, kids are not going to school where somebody could pick up on a cue and ask a question. Families are encouraged to stay inside. I mean, you see some places where homes are pretty much shuttered up, and people are, for very good reason, perhaps out of fear, or maybe they are afraid they might have it. They are doing the right thing and they are completely self-quarantining and not even leaving the house. On the other hand, we do see people out with family members doing very positive things and engaging in what are really good things to be doing mm-hmm. during this time. It's really hard when you are being told to basically self-quarantine. It is just a really good reason to stay hidden in your home, very little interaction. And particularly if people have lost jobs,
right,
then you don't even have that outlet. You may be the one who stays at home and is the abused victim, and your abuser goes to work. But at least you have some time on your own while they're at work. It may be reversed. It may be that you are the abused person, but you have had the opportunity to go to work and at least had some social interaction during the day.
You know,
if you have a situation where lost their jobs. You don't have that.
Right. And you've, in fact, described quarantine like, quote, living in a pressure cooker for homes with domestic violence concerns. What do you mean by that?
So you add to the normal stresses of any kind of a relationship where you're living with another person. You add to that the fact that you may have job loss. You may have one of the partners who has a substance abuse problem. And now you couple that with the fact that you are in close quarters and supposed to stay home together. And you can get on people's nerves. I mean, in the best of situations, even in happy relationships, you can get on people's nerves. And then you add a few young children, or you add some teenagers, you add some boredom to that, and you are looking at what can potentially be a tinderbox with not much outlet, particularly if individuals haven't had any type of modeling of what is good positive behavior and don't have any outside interests or even the opportunity to get out, and maybe even not the permission to go outside.
So, Bea, before I let you go, I think obviously we know that right now we are all supposed to quarantine. We're supposed to be following the stay-home orders. And because it is so critically important from a community health standpoint that we all do that. With that being said, when is it necessary to break a quarantine order and get help?
Well, I would say that if somebody is feeling in fear for their life, they need to do whatever they can to call 911. If someone as a neighbor has the opportunity to witness something, for example, somebody runs out of the house, somebody is dragged back in the house by their hair, don't hesitate to call 911. Our first responders right now are unfortunately the best line of defense should something turn potentially lethal, because we can't, in so many instances, as you pointed out, pick up on some of the more subtle clues right now. So if you see something that is just out there, whether it's a child that is being mistreated out where you can witness it, or an adult, I would say call 911.
Bea, I want to thank you so much for talking with us today. This is just so important. And we will, of course, be posting the local hotline numbers for domestic violence and sexual assault on our website. But before we go, that 24-hour local domestic hotline, 208-343-7025. Bea, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Gemma.
We've been talking with Bea Black, Executive Director of the Women and Children's Alliance. Up next, how in the world do we talk to our kids about the times we are going through right now? We're going to talk with an expert. This is Idaho Matters.